Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Karen Ellenbecker, the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group, and we are in our new location. We're just north of I-94 between Highway 160 and Highway F. We're in the Ridgeview Corporate Park, and we do invite you to stop in. It's we're almost here a year, and we are on 40-plus acres, and now we're just starting to see all the beautiful spring flowers and things coming up, and so we invite you to come and enjoy them with us. We also have our second location in the village of Whitefish Bay. We're in the Equitable Bank building directly across from Winkies, and we have the opportunity to serve our clients in Bonita Springs, Florida as well. If you would like to know more about Ellenbecker Investment Group, you can go to ellenbecker.com. You can also put a face with the voice. I have so many people. I'll be standing in a grocery line and somebody will say, "I know that voice. Who are you?" And it always makes me smile and feel very good. Today is one of the shows that I always look forward to doing. It's with the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau, and Jim Temer is here. He is the CEO, and as most of you know, that we are very proud of the fact that we have been the recipients of the Better Business Bureau's Torch Award for Business and Ethics, and, you know, four times. And that, for me, is a real statement, because when I started Ellenbecker Investment Group in 1996, I really wanted to be that company that was out there that was a model for other companies, other investment companies, to how you could do business ethically, make a good living, and have those relationships that are so important as you build a business. And so I'm really happy to be here, and I also had the opportunity for many years to be actually on the board of the Better Business Bureau, so I really got an inside view of what the BB does for Milwaukee and all around the country, actually. And I, like so many, kind of went into this thinking, well, it's a complaint company. It's a place that if something goes wrong, you call them and hopefully they can help you out. But what I learned and what we'll share with you today is that the BB is so much more than that. It does so much for the community. It does so much for the business, for the consumers. And we're here to talk about that and to share a lot of that information with you. So welcome to the show, Jim.
It's really my pleasure to be here, Karen. It's something we look forward to, too, every year, is to be able to talk to you and your listeners about what we do. And the bottom line, as you know, as an accredited business for many, many years, is that we increase trust in the marketplace. That's our bottom line. We can talk about all the ways we do that. But what I love is that in today's society, you know, trust is maybe the most valuable commodity that we're looking for. And if we can do anything to advance that, we can all go home and sleep well. So what the Better Business Bureau does, I think, is more important today than it ever has been.
Well, you know, on the other side of trust is fear. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's such an important part of our business too, and any business owner's business. And prior to you sitting down today, I was sharing with you a story about a woman who told me that they had purchased a car and they had a really very bad experience with it. And I said, did you look up at the BBB? Well, she looked up after, mm-hmm. not before. And she said, there's hundreds of complaints. And, you know, that's the thing that I really like to impress to our listeners is look before you buy.
Right.
And so maybe you can talk about that.
You
just
bet.
About that whole concept of building trust. And because what's happening now is she's talking about, I'm not going to ever buy a new car again. And, you know, mm-hmm. it sets the stage for fear,
right.
and for being feeling vulnerable and taken advantage of.
And that's with an actual company that, you know, maybe did her wrong. Then there's all the people that are scammed, just, you know, the law is broken, they're scammed, and they're victimized, and they feel the same way. And they don't then want to go out and partake in the marketplace. So that hurts everybody. If you can't get what you want, if a business isn't receiving, you know, your money, your time to do a job for you properly, it just cycles down and down and down. So we actually are sort of an early crowdsourcing business. We take information freely from people that want to give it to us, and then we make that available to other people. So when you come to the BBB, you look up a company, you'll find out various things. One, if they're accredited or not, and you're an accredited business, we can talk about that. You'll see what information we have. We grade A through F. You'll see what complaints people have lodged against them, and then reviews, positive, negative, neutral, whatever they are. And people don't know the difference between a review and a complaint. Well, a complaint, like your friend who had a problem with a car dealer, they may want a solution. I was overcharged. The contractor never poured the concrete he said he was going to. You know, I didn't get what I paid for. A review is, think about a dining review. So, you know, I went to this restaurant and the service was poor. I went someplace and I didn't really like it. That's a difference because you aren't asking for anything back. You're just voicing your opinion. So that's important. But to us, the complaints are very important because what we do is act as a third-party moderator. We make sure that the company is going to get that complaint, and they have so long to respond to you. And if they don't respond, we mark them down for that. Mm-hmm. And if you're an accredited business and you do not respond to one complaint, you can be revoked. Because, again, we want that lines of communication, the lines of trust open. Now, every complaint isn't decided in the customer's favor all the time. You know the old saying, the customer's always right? Well, no, but the customer does deserve an answer. You know, we have examples of people, something breaks, say you buy a new TV and it breaks well after the warranty is over. Well, you don't get something new for that. But you should get an explanation as to why you're not getting anything new for that.
We talked a little bit, you and I did too, about, as you said, you could go to Amazon and there's thousands of complaints, but that's a minuscule amount in comparison mm-hmm. to the millions of things that they're doing and products they're delivering. How does someone determine, if they look at it, that this is something worth looking into, or what is the next step if they, because so often, you know, you see a food review and you'll see someone give a really bad review, mm-hmm. but there's good reviews, and you don't want to feel like I can't go to that restaurant,
right.
or I shouldn't support it. How does someone actually take the information that you're providing and use it to their best interest?
Well, we try and do that work for you. When we get enough information about a business, we do give it a grade, and we take size of business, length of time in business. Are there any government actions? Are there any lawsuits? What are the complaint volumes? How large is the business? All of these things come into play. So if you're a very small business, again, and you have 10 complaints, that may be a lot, right? If you're a big business and you have a lot of complaints, that might not be at the same level. So we have an algorithm that takes all that into account, and then we grade businesses. Now, there are many business, of course, in Wisconsin, there's over 174,000 businesses. Mm. We don't have information on all of them, but the more we get, the more people tell us, the more we can share that with other people. And then again, we do our own accreditation standards, where if a business wants to be accredited, they agree to meet our standards, and we vet them, and they pass all the checks, then they can be an accredited business. And that is sort of a shorthand signifier for a business that you can trust. You know, we've done that work for you. You don't have to do that. I can't tell you who the best plumber in town is, but I can give you a list of plumbers that you can trust and that are ethical and they're going to stand by their product.
And that is so important. And you had mentioned it. We hear so much about the scams and the things that are going on. And Ponzi scam, I mean, it's almost unfathomable to me that people would take advantage of people in the way that, that they do. We're just coming up at the end of this first segment. Let's take a break right now, and let's talk about some of those scams and how people can protect themselves. And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. My guest today is Jim Temer. He is the CEO of the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau, and we've been talking about the importance of, if you're going to do something, you've got yard things or repairs or you want to build or whatever it is that you're doing. And I think that you cover all different industries.
That's right.
Doctors and everything, right?
Accountants, investment professionals.
You can look us up. And but it's really important to just take that time, go onto the webpage, which is thebetterbusinessbureau.com.
BBB.org.
That's right, BBB.org. I've got it written right down here. Didn't even look at that. And look it up. And it gives you some information to start doing that planning. And I'm talking to people all the time that are saying now that they're calling people and they can't get anyone to come or to do the work or to give them an appraisal, or they get an appraisal and they can't come in. So, you know, this is really valuable information, and time is money as well as money.
That's right. And, you know, you bring up like contractors and contracting. We know that there's a huge backlog, that a good contractor right now doesn't have time for new projects. They won't even come give you a bid, right? They won't even come give you an estimate. And one thing we tell people is you have to know what's going on in the market around you. And if somebody comes in and they say, oh, I've got all sorts of time, I can start on that next week, you may that may not be a good thing, right? You still want to do your research. And we always tell people, you know, get your different bids if you can, check references, do your own homework, but make sure we're part of that. All of our services are free for consumers to use. And you want to do it on the front end, not the back end. So we really try and give information and highlight who's a good business and then who you should stay away from, and then just look out for the scams.
And if you do have a bad experience, take the time to do a complaint, because you can't know what you don't know.
That's right. And again, if you have a special, you know, if you have something you're looking for, money back, project completed, something like that, we will work to get that response from the company. There are companies that are not accredited. We still work with them all. We get them the complaints. Sometimes they answer, sometimes they don't. But they're more likely to respond to a complaint that's forwarded from the Better Business Bureau than from Joe Public, who just, you know, sends them an email.
Right. Let's talk about some of those scams that are going on right now.
You know, there are so many. And the number one group to be scammed in North America, age-wise, is not senior citizens. Seniors lose more money because they've had a lifetime to generate that wealth. But it's younger people aged 18 to 24.
Really?
Yeah. And
that really surprises me.
Because they do everything on their phone, on a computer, and the number of scams out there, Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, all that stuff, probably at least, well, at least a third, we know that, of those things are scams. And then employment scams right now. You'll see ads, and if you, say you're a younger person and you're on a job board and you post your resume, whatever, scammers will send you an email and it will offer you a job, good money, you know, short hours, work from home, and it's a scam. And it takes a few different paths. One is, what happens when you get a job first day? Well, I need your driver's license and your social security number. Well, you give up your information, someone can steal your identity. And then they say, we have direct deposit. So what does that mean? I need your bank account information, your routing number, your checking account number.
Oh, is that scary?
And then they have all, they can drain your account, and it's a fake job. It never existed. Or they'll tell you you have a job. We're going to send you your first month's pay, which is going to be whatever they tell you, $4,000. But you have to pay for something, training, computers, car rep, whatever it is. And they'll say, we're sending you this check for $4,000. You have to give us back $1,500, but you know, we'll pay that back to you, blah, blah, blah. You get the check, you put it in your bank, you write them a check for $1,500, and 12 days later, you're informed by your bank that that was a bad check. So you don't have any money, and you just cashed a bad check, and you gave whoever it is $1,500 or $750, you know, whatever they wanted.
Never see it again.
Never see it again. It was never a real job. All they did is scammed you to get that money. And that fake check scam happens all the time. If you're selling a car online, someone says, oh, that's fantastic. I'm going to give you full price for that car, but I'm just moving to the area, and I don't have a checking account set up locally yet, and I'm dealing with a mover, and they want a check. So can you please send me, I'll send you a check for full price plus $500. Can you please send me a check back for $500? Or if you're renting an apartment, people right away, yes, I'll pay you first month, last month, security deposit. And again, for whatever reason, they need more money. So they'll send you that check, and the check they send you is fake. If you ever get in this situation, the only thing you can do is wait for the check to clear your bank. Now, it'll show up right away that you have that money in your account, but it can take 12, 14 business days for it to clear. After that, if it's a real check, do what you need to do. But
so you just tell them right up front, I will wait till the check clears, and then I will send you money.
Right, and then they probably won't do anything.
And they won't. You'll never see that check.
Nope.
So what about these vacation scams that I hear about? People end up going, paying all this money, and they end up going and somebody's living in the house.
Yep, well, think about it. Now, the sites that are out there like VRBO and all those other Airbnb, they try and monitor their site to take the scammers off. They aren't always successful, but they try. But again, if you're looking on Craigslist, and I just point these out, and there are a lot of them like that, or Facebook or whatever, people can take, and they do take, images from real estate companies, and they post them online as a rental. So let's say someone's selling a condo in
Naples, wherever.
Right, and it's beautiful. And you see it on a rental site that you can go there over spring break, and it's going to be, you know, $1,000 a week or what, you know, whatever. You're like, fantastic.
Like $5,000 a
week.
Yes, yeah.
Fantastic. I'm in. You know, you send them the money, and picture this. You buy your tickets. You show up with your luggage, with your children, and you knock on the door, and they're like, can I help you? Well, we're here for the week. No, you aren't. I live here. So there's nothing there. Or vacation scam, you know, people like to, if you're like me, when you're on vacation, the last thing I'm really trying to think about is business or scams or money. You know, it's vacation. I just want to have a good time. And people take advantage of that. There are times when you could be in a hotel, middle of the night, you get a phone call. Hi, Mr. Temer, this is the front desk. We had a computer issue and we lost all of our credit card information. Can you please give me your credit card number again? Okay. Give them the credit card number. Well, it wasn't the front desk. It was someone calling from the outside. Or they might not say, then Mr. Temer, it would be, excuse me, this is the front desk calling. There was a problem with your credit card. Yeah. Or whatever it is. And it's a scam. There was a scam in a well-known tourist destination in the Midwest. People came up with flyers, and they put them under windshields at, like, all the water parks. And it said, free this weekend, you know, two large pizzas and a two-liter bottle of Coke for $15, whatever it was. Delivery only. So you went back to your hotel room, you call the number on the flyer, you give them your credit card, nothing is delivered because there's no pizza joint. They just did all of that to get people's credit card information.
Oh.
So travel scams are out, airline tickets. If you go to a third-party site, and again, some of them are legitimate, some of them are not. So you could go to a third-party site, get your airline tickets, you paid for them, they contact you back. Oh, there's a fuel surcharge. There's some kind of airport tax. They're going to try and get all these extra fees from you. And when you say no, you'll never hear from them again. And you didn't really get a ticket in the first place. So know who you're dealing with. again, go to BBB.org. You can verify them. But just, it's best to be sure. And if you want to be sure, use the site directly. I mean, if it's, pick an airline, you know, American Airlines, you can go right to their site. And again, some of the third-party sites are legitimate. Some of them aren't. If you go to the internet and you search in cheap airline ticket, you'll see the ones that pop up. And some of those, I guarantee you, are going to be scam sites.
You know, I'm getting all the time now donation sites to my house burnt down, mm-hmm. this happened, that happened. And, you know, I am somebody that always wants to contribute and help. But I don't know who to trust. And I don't do any of them because it's so difficult. And my granddaughter, Taylor, who is this IT expert, she's, Nana, don't open anything. If you don't know who it is, don't open it. And now my office saying, and don't send it to me to check it. I send it to the IT. They just say, discard it. If they are legitimate, they're going to call you. They will do something directly. But there's so much coming across the computer and on the phone and all these opportunities to give to different things. And
well, charity scams are another huge topic, but I'll tell you, your granddaughter, Karen, was correct. And we tell people all the time, you don't have to answer the door. You don't have to answer the phone. You can delete the email. If you don't engage with a scammer, you're not going to get scammed. But charity scams and GoFundMe pages.
GoFundMe, that's right. The ones.
Well, those, right, anybody could take images from anywhere and come up with a story and put it up there. A few things to remember about those kind of crowdfunding sites. If you know the person directly and you want to contribute, fine, by all means. If you don't know them, it's a little leery. And if you're looking for contributions to make that may be tax deductible, of course, that is not a registered 501c3. There's no tax.
No benefit.
No benefit to that. But again, if there's someone you know, right, their house burned down, the kids in the hospital, whatever, by all means, help them out if you want to. But if you don't know them and you're getting a sob story in your inbox, listen to your granddaughter.
Yes. And you know, the problem is you get so much stuff and you're going fast. Now I'll think, oh, I should open that. Or it'll be something that says, we can't deliver your package, UPS. Or we can't deliver your package. And I'm like, I don't even have a package to deliver.
And you just hit a key point. You said you're in a hurry.
Yes.
Anybody can fall for a scam in the right circumstance. Scams aren't, you know, these aren't people that don't know anything, that fall for everything out there. If you're hurrying and you get that, and maybe you did order something through UPS or Amazon, whatever, and you click on the link and you're going to download malware in your computer, or, you know, they're going to ask you for credit card because there wasn't enough payment, or all sorts of things, but you fell for it not because you're not smart, but because you're in a hurry or because you're emotional. Scammers, you know, will call grandparents. Hey, Grandma, this is Jimmy. I'm in Mexico, and I got in a car accident. I'm in the hospital. I need $5,000. Please don't tell my parents. Hi, Grandma, this is Jimmy. I'm in jail in Italy or wherever, you know.
Mexico.
Yes, I'm in a Mexican jail. Help me out. And that scam's been around for a long time, but now with AI, if you have your voice out there, they can capture that. So now instead of somebody calling that doesn't sound like me, it sounds just like me. And they will look at obituary notices to get names. It sounds horrible, but, you know, if someone dies, they're left, say, they have a widow, it'll list her name, and you're survived by son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter.
My gosh.
They'll wait 6 months later, they'll call that survivor, say it is a woman, and say, Grandma, this is Billy, and you have a grandson named Billy. You're more apt to fall for something because you're emotional. So if you're in a hurry, if it's emotion, there's so many ways where anybody can fall for a scam. And actually, if you want me to, I can tell you when I fell for one not too long ago.
Let's take a break, and we'll come back for that. And I also want to tack, you know, this is tax season.
Yes.
So let's hit on that, too. And with that, we will be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. My guest today is Jim Temmer. We have been talking about some of the scams that the BBB tracks down and notifies, and that's one of the great things. I get notifications all the time that there's a scam out here, that it's just an email that gives a great notification. Jim is the CEO of the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau, And you had said that you got scammed?
Yeah. Right. It's a little, but, you know, we got to take the stigma out of this, right? I mean, again, anybody can get scammed. We just went at work to all the Microsoft stuff. So I had to download a Microsoft two-factor authentication app on my phone. And also I'm involved with like the National BBB, and I have accounts from that thing as well. And I had a meeting that was starting, and I had to get some documents, and I went on my phone and I typed in, you know, whatever it was, Microsoft two-factor authentication app. Something came up. I clicked on it. I downloaded it. And then it needed my information, and then it needed a credit card number just for whatever, you know, it was free, but they needed it. So I take my company card and I put it in there, and it says, you know, it didn't work. I put it in again. It said, didn't work. I'm thinking, gosh darn it. I pull out one of my personal credit cards. I put the number in there, and again, it says, didn't work. Believe it or not, I almost pulled out a third credit card. And then I thought, wait a minute. Wait, there's something wrong here. So I got off my phone. I contacted our person who deals with finances in the office, and I said, hey, take a look. I put my credit card number into this thing, and it may have been a scam. Sure enough, like within seconds, there was $39 worth of something there was a charge. Then I called and canceled my own personal credit card number that I also put in there. But
what a hassle.
Right. It's a hassle. And then, you're right, you think I'm the BBB guy. I shouldn't get scammed. But it just shows anybody can fall for this. Right. Right.
And you're in a hurry.
And I looked at it, and it wasn't the official Microsoft two-factor authentication app. It was some other company's app. And it was all a scam because they're hoping people like me will do just what I did, and I fell for it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I know several people who have been scammed on dating sites.
Oh.
And the thing that was so amazing to me that I heard the story was that this person was engaged in conversation for months before they actually came around to asking for money. But one of the things that somebody told me is, if somebody won't FaceTime with you, don't even give them the time of day. And most of these people would never FaceTime. They couldn't. They were in bad areas. They, you know, didn't have the right phone.
And it depends how involved the scam is. If it's people who just, you'll never talk to them or see them because they're not who they say they are, then there are very involved organizations that use algorithms to find out if you're a 58-year-old single woman, what appeals to you? And they have that profile out there. It's a 62-year-old man that works on an oil rig. Or it's a military man with kids who's, you know,
a
widower.
I think one of these women were talking to someone on an oil rig.
They do that. But you said FaceTime, you have to be careful. Now, again, they can hire people. Like, we have examples of an organization that does this, and they hired a few. They did it mostly to men. And they hired women, attractive women who would look just like they said they were, but their job is to talk to guys all day long and get them, this sounds bad, and get them to give them money, you know, but and they don't ask for money right away, and they might even send you a small gift, but every time it comes time to meet, I can't afford the airfare, I broke my leg, my mom's in the hospital, there's always going to be something. But this scam, we talked about, anyone can fall for it, and it's emotional. People fall so hard, Karen. You know, there have been people in Wisconsin that have lost everything, hundreds of thousands of dollars to these kind of scams, where their relatives, their kids, the police are telling them, this is a scam, and they don't want to believe it.
Right.
They want to believe that somebody loves them.
Yes.
And then the scammers will even say things like, you know, when this first started, it was a scam, but now that I know the real you, I love you. I mean, it's insidious. It's really, you can't think of taking advantage of anyone kind of more than that. So if you have friends or relatives to our listeners out there, and you think something like this is going on, talk to them about it. And if you're on a dating site and they immediately want you off the dating site, big red flag. Because again, those dating sites are monitored. But if you're just...
My subscription is over.
Yeah. All right.
See, so contact me here.
Yeah.
Do you know, I just also spoke to somebody recently. I mean, a very astute business person, and he got involved in a Ponzi scam. Mm. And he was telling me that this man was so professional and so slick that he still can't believe that this man did what he did to all these people, and they lost millions of dollars. Yeah. But he said, I'm smart. How could I have been caught up in this?
Well, here's one little bit that may have been involved with that we're finding out. Of course, you're familiar with LinkedIn. Everybody
yes.
is. People will go on there and compile fake profiles. They'll say that they worked in an investment banking house in New York, handling multi-million dollar accounts, doing this, doing that, investing. Or we're finding now they'll try and create profiles that show their cryptocurrency experts, because that's a big investment
yes.
scam, you don't know, too. So all of these things. So you're talking to this person, and they seem legitimate, and they're like, hey, go check my LinkedIn page. You'll see. I mean, all my experience is there. And it just reaffirms what they told you. Mm-hmm. So all of these techniques, scammers want some kind of authority. They want you to believe them. And they'll do whatever it takes to make you believe that they're telling you the truth when they aren't.
This fella said we went out to dinner with him and his wife, and we did all these things, went to a baseball game and had coffees and talked about it. And he just said, I cannot believe that I didn't pick up anything.
Well, this could be the 50th time they ran this scam, and they're liars and they're scam. I mean, they're criminals. We say scam, but it's a criminal. Billions of dollars are taken out of the legitimate economy every year in the United States to scams. And why is the Better Business involved? Because that's money that could be used to purchase actual items and services from companies that you need.
Yes.
So then you don't have that money, and the company hurts and you hurt. The charity scam, think of that. You're scammed because you lose the money, but that could have gone to a legitimate charity. So those poor kids or whoever it is aren't getting that money. So these scammers are hurting everybody.
So let's just, we have a few minutes left in this segment. What does that person who has been scammed, and of course you mentioned a word earlier, there's so much shame involved mm-hmm. when it happens. There's so much shame involved. And then because it happens, that whole idea of fear of being scammed again and shamed again. But what are the steps? What does somebody do when something like this happens? And how private is that for the person making the complaint?
Now, there are a few layers to that. First of all, if you think your personal information has been compromised, your credit card, of course, call the credit card company right away. Put a hold on all your credit cards. You can call your bank. Tax scams, IRS, contact them immediately. Same thing if your social security number has been compromised, because people will file early and get a refund that should have gone to you, but they get it. And then when you file, they say, we've already given out a refund. So it depends what it, if you're scammed out of $1,000 because you went online and thought you were purchasing something and didn't. Almost all of those originate overseas, which makes law enforcement very difficult. Of course, you can report it, but the local police won't have any way to do it. The FBI gets involved with some of these scams, but it's hard for them to track it down again because it's overseas. You can report scams and attempted scams to us at the BBB on our scam tracker, which is a great tool. We do share that information with law enforcement. And again, it compiles it all. So if there's similar phone numbers, if there's names that are repeated over and over again, we can find that out and then help law enforcement that way. But the best way how not to get scammed again is not deal with them and to be educated. I mean, it's what we're doing right now. It's talk about it. And it loses that stigma when people hopefully realize that, it's not your fault that you were a victim. Someone took advantage of you, right? And there shouldn't be shame in that. There is in our society. But, if you have someone you're worried about, and maybe it is a elderly relative or a neighbor, talk to them.
Tell your kids up front
this
is going on.
Yes. Hey, I've got some concerns about this. I don't know if this is legitimate or not. Anybody you can talk to, or those kids, because they're the ones being scammed a lot. Talk to your parents. Talk to somebody else and say, I don't know if this is legitimate. And if you have that question, odds are it's not legitimate.
Yeah. listen to your gut. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to switch the show around. We're going to talk about the really great positive things happening, the Torch Award, which is coming up on May 16th, how people can attend, how this can be a real positive impact on your business, being having the BBB little sticker out there that people can see all the time when they come to your business or go to your web page. And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group, and been doing this show since 1990.
Wow.
Almost can't believe it. Isn't that something? And I've never sold a product. And Jim, you said it very, you know, what you said before is here we are educating. And that's what I hope, that making money sense in all the aspects of our life, not just when we're talking about investments, but an investment in your future, just knowing how you can protect yourself. You work hard for your money. You don't want to lose it to a scam. You don't want to give it to a contractor or give it to someone who doesn't value your money, and you don't get the promises that you think you're getting. So, Jim, talk a little bit about that. Talk about the benefits to business owners and how they can become an accredited, what the accreditation means. We want to talk about the Torch Award as well.
Right. And these are ways that we highlight good, quality, ethical businesses. And it all starts for us with accreditation. And that's kind of our seal of approval. And I'm going to quickly read to you what our standards of trust are. This is what you agree to when you're a business and you join the BBB, that you'll establish and maintain a positive track record in the marketplace. You'll advertise honestly, tell the truth. You'll be transparent, honor your promises, be responsive, safeguard privacy, and embody integrity. That's the kind of business that I want to do business with, right? If you stand up for that, you know, you mentioned when we first started that you wanted to be an example that you can be ethical and make money. There's no barrier between being ethical and making money. And in the long run, it's the ethical companies that attract good employees, attract quality consumers, and do very well. There's a contractor who won one of our Torch Awards, and he said, to me, what I think of in integrity, if I'm in the grocery store and I see a client of mine, I don't have to run down the next aisle and be afraid to see them. You're in a community. You're part of it. We do a lot with education and scams in the community, but it's this idea of building up a base of good ethical businesses. We've got over 6,600 in Wisconsin alone. And we wish
charities. You vet charities.
Right. The Wise Giving Alliance, which is a arm of the BBB, does that for charities. It's a community of businesses. So even in, we're talking business to consumer a lot, but B2B, if you are looking for someone to be IT for whatever it is, you will probably be looking for another ethical business if you're an ethical business. And so it's really important that way. If anyone is interested, go to BBB.org. You can do a simple Google site for, you know, BBB Wisconsin. We're all over the place. We do cover the whole state. And our Torch Awards, you mentioned that. You've been a recipient multiple times, and you know what it takes. It's a self-study in ethics. And we have a panel of experts to judge these things.
Is that something you pay for?
No, it's free. And
I mean, you don't pay to get it either.
No, that's what
I mean.
This
isn't something you can't, like in some magazines, you could do a whole article that you pay for.
Oh, yeah.
An advertisement article. This is a truly an award that you have to earn. And I will tell you that one of the things, I will apply again. I think we have to wait 5 years.
Yep.
And the reason I will apply is because we consistently talk to our employees. If something really great happens, you get a great testimony from a client, save it, email it to me. When something happens in the community, when we have a new initiative, we walk that talk, and our employees see us doing it and how important ethics and integrity are to us, as well as it's important for the community and it's important for our clients. But I think the number one place that is so significant for us as well is with our employees, mm-hmm. that they see it. It is all about walking your talk.
Right.
And I can tell you, Jim, when we have new people come in that are vetting us out as a potential provider, one of the things we always ask is, you know, well, what are you paying? What? Well, we don't know. every time we ask, we get kind of a run-of-the-mill. We don't know. They don't even know what they're paying for the services they're getting. They're not transparent. And that is such an important part. So we see it all the time. But sometimes people don't even know the questions to ask when they're with a business. And that's right. The thing that you're bringing to the – these are the things you can ask.
Mm-hmm. And the things you should ask.
And should ask.
Right? And there are good businesses. There are many good businesses. And going back to the Torch Awards, you don't have to be an accredited business to apply for it. And there's questions you go through. And it's amazing how a lot of them deal with the folks, the owners, the officers of a company, because that's where this starts. You know, you could be a entry-level worker and have fantastic ethics, but that's not going to affect the entire company. So we look at the top. We look at how training is done with employees in bigger companies, and you have to. We need examples of it as well. But you will get back from our judges, who none of them work for us. They're from the business world, from the academic world, previous Torch Award winners, and you'll get a self-study in your company's ethics, and it will highlight areas where you can improve it. And so you get all that for free. Even if you don't win, I think you win anyway, because if you don't get the award, you have a consultant came in and gave you this project for free. So, and we also have one called the Spark Award, which is for newer entrepreneurs, less than 5 years or under 35 years old. And I want to comment that we give out 15 $2,500 scholarships every year. We call it the Student of Integrity Scholarship. We give it out at the same luncheon when we do these awards, and all proceeds go to support these scholarships. Our foundation doesn't have any employees. You know, it's all volunteer effort. But we think it's so important, and these students have to write an essay about what integrity means to them. And they have to be going to a school in Wisconsin, 2 year or 4 year after graduation, because we want to keep these ethical kids here in Wisconsin. And our line that I like to use is we want to promote ethics from the classroom all the way up to the boardroom. And it's a culture that we're doing, and these kids are fantastic. We get usually over 500 applicants, and you go through there and you think, these kids are so, I wish they could all come to work for me. But it's so enlightening to see that, and to be able to give out 15 scholarships like that a year is because of people that attend the Spark and Torch Awards. They contribute to it, and again, all of the proceeds, anything, goes right to those scholarships.
So give our listeners an idea of how they can apply for the Torch Award. And for me, what we do, as I said earlier, we just accumulate this information mm-hmm. over time so that when we do want to fill it out and work with it, we have been looking for it. But you can just imagine your employees are, oh, that would be good for the Torch Award.
Right.
And sends it off to Sarah. And so it's a constant thought process. So when you do this, it really is good for your employees,
yes.
And it's good for them to know what. And if you don't win that first year, you apply again mm-hmm. and again. I mean, it's just, it's fabulous. So talk about that, and then also how they can sign up to attend the Torch Award.
Well, we accept applications for the Torch Award. We usually start October 1, and then it goes through like February 1. So it's that time of year, and you can go to our website, and anytime if you contact one of our employees and say, I want to know when the Torch Award submissions are, we'll put you in the list and we'll make sure that you know.
Mm-hmm. And that's the BBB.org.
BBB.org. And we also have, you can nominate. Maybe you've got a great business that you work with. You can nominate them, and then we'll contact that business and say, hey, Karen nominated you. She thinks that you are an ethical business for a Torch Award. Well, who wouldn't want to hear that, right? That's fantastic. So that's how that happens. It is cyclical because we give the awards out in May. We're giving them out this year. Our Torch Awards is going to be at the Italian Community Center on May 16th from 11 to 1:30. We start with a reception, and then we have lunch and the awards and the scholarships are given out. Mary Stoker Smith from Channel 6 is going to be our MC. She did it last year. She did a fantastic job. If you're interested in attending, you can go to ethicsawards.org. All the information will be there. It's an awesome event. I'll say that I feel proud to go every year, because when can you get a group of people together to talk about integrity and ethics and trust and honesty? And in a way that, you know, it's not hypocritical. We aren't saying we're perfect, but we're saying, you know, we're trying to do something here. and the business owners, right? It's a good feeling. And then to see these kids.
The energy in the room is so uplifting.
It's a fantastic event.
It's absolutely. Jim, this has been really great. My guest is Jim Temer. He is the CEO for the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau. And I just want to encourage you, if you are thinking about doing something this coming up year in any aspect of your life, go to the BBB.org and check it out. And if you have had an experience that has been difficult, take the time to make a complaint, because people can't help and they can't help others, so they don't have the same experience that you have if you don't take that moment to do a complaint. And so, as always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. And remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a great day. Bye.